This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never complained about the trophy not being in my house and vice versa. You know, you shouldn't be feeling two ways about, you know, it going to me. So Joker's going to play the game. I don't play against TJ, doesn't play against me, but we'll have a plan to... We'll go out and do what we're supposed to, win the game, and dominate on defense. But it's up for grabs this year, and we'll see the best man win.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to give you the award this year, Miles, when your team is 2-8 and the defense is taking a step back in pretty much every single defensive category. Of course, that is the voice of, I think, the hated in Pittsburgh, Myles Garrett, but more on that coming up in a minute. Here's the other thing when I hear that. I've never complained when I didn't get the award. That's because you didn't deserve it when TJ Watt got it before.
Right.
And he didn't deserve it last year. I have a couple of theories on why Myles Garrett is viewed in a lot of circles more favorably than TJ Watt. And I'll get to that as well coming up in a minute. But a little history reminder here. So TJ Watt did not go to the award ceremony last year. He knew he wasn't going to win the DPOY. And he tweeted out moments before the award was handed out that I'm used to this. Now, Myles Garrett, if you look at the transcript from Browns.com yesterday, also said, Watt didn't say nothing to me. He's got to apologize to me when I see him.
For what?
For the tweet, for not showing up at the award ceremony.
Why?
It's what I'm wondering, Doran.
What does he owe Myles Garrett?
I'm just wondering why we expect these guys to be competitors on the field but not competitors off the field. TJ Watt feels like he was the best defensive player in football last year, and I would happen to agree with him. And he's miffed that he didn't win it. And you know why he's miffed? Because these are the kinds of things, these awards, that when you're up for the Hall of Fame, they're considered.
Yeah.
When you're in discussions... Yeah. Like, is TJ Watt the best Steelers defensive player of all time? No one's ever going to take that mantle from Mean Joe Green.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had three DPOYs right now, you could start to really put him in that conversation. It's about hardware. So I totally get why TJ Watt was pissed.
Well, also his brother, too.
And you're trying to compete with the Thanksgiving Day debate, right?
Honestly, low key, right?
Do you think they make Derek cut the turkey?
Yes. Well, TJ's the youngest, right? Derek's in the middle.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. But Derek Watt is the definition of a middle child.
He really is.
Seriously, like to the T.
I feel bad for him. He's like Cooper Manning.
Yeah.
Like, your two brothers are in the Hall of Fame. Your dad was the best quarterback for a while in Saints history, and, well, you didn't play football. Well, not in the NFL.
Right.
Derek Watt's the guy. Hey, Derek, let us know when you've carved the turkey.
If there's me, well, my son is going to be better than your sons, like Cooper Manning.
That's all you got. Cooper Manning can't even beat out the other kid at Texas. You got another quarterback starting over him right now. But that's besides the point.
Right.
The reason why I think the national media is, for lack of a better way of putting it, in love with Myles Garrett, despite all the counting stats going the other way, is he was viewed as the better player coming out of the draft. He's got all the traits. He's flashier. I think you can make an argument he could be a more enjoyable watch, and I think it's confirmation bias. He was the number one overall pick. This guy's the bee's knees. He's God's gift to rushing the passer, and people just never came off it. And TJ Watt drafted at the end of the first round. I think in a lot of people's minds, they're neck and neck. And so the tie goes to the dude with the traits. That's one theory. And the other is this newfound love with being the smartest guy in the room in analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think you know ball? Well, what about pass rush win rate? That's a hard sentence to say, by the way. I'm
pass
very proud
rush
of myself.
That is.
See?
Ooh. Pass.
I'm sorry.
Rush,
I didn't mean to get you caught in the net there.
Great.
Yeah, it's
wow.
tough. Well, he had a higher pass rush win rate. So this guy, he's clearly the better player. All the while, Doran, if I could just regale you with the statistics.
And then I want to give you a third.
A third component. Theory.
Yes.
I like the theory. I'm ready for the theory. I'll give you time to marinate on that theory. Last year, Watt, 19 sacks, 14 for Garrett. Forced fumbles, tie, 4-4. Tackles, Watt, 68, Garrett, 42. TFLs, Watt clears, 19-17. QB hits, 36-30. This year, it's 7.5-7 in terms of sacks. Watt in the lead in all these, by the way. Forced fumbles, 4-2. Tackles, 27-21. Tackles for loss, 12-10. 18-15 in QB hits. All right, well, how about all time? I mean, Garrett's got to be at least right there all time. He doesn't have the edge in any of these categories. Not this year, not last year, not all time. 104 sacks for Watt, 95.5 for Garrett. Forced fumbles, 31-19. Watt's one of the best forced fumble guys of all time. Tackles, 427-328. TFLs, 107-104. QB hits, 216-187. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
It's not close. Myles Garrett's a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. T.J. Watt's an all-time great.
Yes.
What's your theory?
I think people are making these decisions based on, and you know, a compliment to the NFL. And if you just look at the whole thing, I think that decision makers, whenever it comes to these things and hardware, are sick of Steelers getting hardware and getting credit. If you look at the Hall of Fame, and I don't even know if they're in conjunction. I don't know if they're together. Like, there could be people who are picking on the Hall of Fame, doing the, okay, but it's still underneath the NFL realm. You'll see Steelers players all the time, every year, up for the Hall of Fame. And then one year, a couple years ago, it was like, well, there's too many Steelers. You can't have too many Steelers
in. Yeah, there's Steelers fatigue.
There's Steelers fatigue.
Yeah, that's a good theory.
And I think that there's legitimately, like, we are not going to give it to this brand who always gets everything and people love all the time. And I think that people don't want to, I don't think that the decision makers want to honor the great players of the Steelers because there's just too many of them.
I think that is legit. I think all three of those theories check out. And then I also think there's the Lifetime Achievement Award thing. Myles Garrett, clearly a great player. Myles Garrett, clearly a Hall of Famer. Hadn't won one, let's give it to that guy. I think that plays into it too. But we'll see if it happens for Lamar. You know, Lamar is vying for his third MVP. Shouldn't somebody be getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, right? I mean, you already gave that guy two, so shouldn't it go to somebody else? Maybe give it to Derrick Henry, his mate in the backfield.
Yeah.
Because there's Lamar Jackson fatigue. It's something that I'll rightly admit shouldn't bug me out as much as it does. But last year, Watt, better numbers. Significantly so. I mean, Garrett didn't register a sack in like seven of the final eight games. Like limped down the stretch. Their defense was also abhorrent away from playing in Cleveland, whereas the Steelers' defense was consistent until everybody got hurt at the end of the year. This season, Watt's got the edge. All time, Watt's got the edge. And so I'm going to ask Steelers fans a question, Doran, at 412-928-9370. Is Myles Garrett the player you most love to hate? Because I don't think it's Lamar Jackson because the Steelers have owned him. It can't now be Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry averages over 100 yards a game in his career. He's averaging 61 against the Steelers. It can't be Joe Burrow, I wouldn't think, because they've had their successes against him.
Mm-hmm.
And now, they're 4-7 this year. There's no more Tom Brady. There's no Vontaze Burfict. There's no more Ray Lewis. Is Myles Garrett the player that Steelers fans most love to hate? 412-928-9370. I think the answer is yes, and I think it's yes probably, and it's not close. Because you also have to factor in the helmet swinging incident.
Yes, that too.
And Steelers fans are going to believe one thing, Browns fans are going to believe another thing, and the national media is going to have their own idea on all that. I don't believe Mason Rudolph said what was alleged. I thought he might have until Mike Tomlin took up for him. That swayed me.
Yes.
If Mike Tomlin and his teammates didn't believe he said it, I don't think he said it. I just don't. But we could debate that, I guess. I think the helmet swinging incident, plus this idea that he's better than the guy who's got all the statistical advantages, I think makes him public enemy number one.
There's no doubt. Easily.
I saw Browns fans call TJ Watt a right tackle merchant because he gets to play against right tackles, whereas Myles Garrett faces off primarily against left tackles.
Hmm.
And it's 2024.
Yeah.
Do we think that there are not a lot of good right tackles in the league?
Hmm. Interesting. Got to grasp on to something, though.
Well, that's all they've got. All they've got is Ben sitting on a bench crying next to Marquise Pouncey. And, oh, Myles Garrett's better than TJ Watt. That's all they have. So they hold on to it. They cling on to it. And I will rightly admit, they have sucked me into this thing. They've sucked me in. And Garrett thinks he's owed an apology?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Come on now, man.
Apology for what? Like, this isn't some, like, hey, kumbaya, after the season, all the pass rushers in the league go to Turks and Caicos together and hang out. Like, come on. Why does he owe you an apology? Or what?
The only guy, and I argued this at the time, that I thought may have been owed an apology was Cam Hayward for winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year award, and Watt wasn't there to celebrate with him. That's the only reason I could. That's the only. He didn't owe you crap, man.
Nothing.
Maybe he owes his teammates something. Or how about this? Maybe they talked about it. Maybe Cam understands.
I 100% think that they did.
I think Myles Garrett, he plays the nice guy thing too. Like, Cleveland media loves the dude. I don't know, man. He's just always rubbed me the wrong way. When you accuse somebody of what he accused Mason Rudolph of doing, if it's not true, that's a thing a horrible person does. Now, if it is true, then Mason Rudolph's the horrible guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a lie, if it was to save his own back...
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a scarlet letter you never recover from if you're Mason Rudolph.
Nope.
Is he the player, Myles Garrett, Steelers fans, that you most love to hate? 412-928-9370. Also, Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com, where I have asked what is the best movie that was ever filmed in Pittsburgh. I'm sure you have an answer to that.
I sure do.
But you don't have it now.
Yes, I do.
Oh, what is it?
Best movie ever filmed in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Night of the Living Dead.
Silence of the Lambs?
Close.
Neck and Neck?
Night of the Living Dead, though, because it was filmed in, like, Pittsburgh. Like, and it was before Silence of the Lambs. It was groundbreaking at the time.
Did you ever see She's Out of My League?
Yes. I went to that guy's house.
Wait, what?
Yeah, when I was training in California, I went to his house on the beach.
Which
the one?
Guy,
he was the pilot. His name's Jeff in real life.
Oh, like the super hot guy?
Yeah.
Was he cool?
Awesome.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We were playing volleyball.
That movie's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the guy with the redhead? He's the redhead who's a hilarious comedian. Doesn't matter. JT Miller.
Yeah.
Or, well, no. TJ Miller.
Yeah.
JT Miller's the hockey player from this area. Yeah. Okay, very good.
Yep.
Is Myles Garrett the player you most love to hate? 412-928-9370. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Myles Garrett throwing shade at TJ Watt yesterday. Is he the player that Pittsburgh fans most love to hate? 412-928-9370. You can get in on the text line in addition to the phones. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll get to the phones in a minute on that. But we also stumbled into this, so we've asked the question, what is the best movie that was filmed in Pittsburgh? And a lot of people have texted in, Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
I remember that one, yep.
I've never seen that.
It's not that great.
What's it about?
There you go. Oh, somebody, hey.
First trip to the moon?
Bill Steinbach. Remember Bill Steinbach?
Yes, Steiny.
Guess what movie he said that I said off air? House Guest.
You're telling me that's a great movie.
Oh, it's one of the best.
With Sinbad.
Phil Hartman. It is so funny.
Have you ever seen The Next 3 Days?
I have not.
Yes, that's a really good one.
That's a good one.
Russell Crowe.
That was a recent one, right?
That was like
2010.
Okay.
Callis, a big fan of that movie.
I did. I loved it. That was the first movie I can remember growing up that was shot in Pittsburgh.
My aunt, who I told you about the other day, who was a county detective for 40 years, I think she would leave her entire life for Russell Crowe.
Really?
A massive Russell Crowe fan. Yeah. So Zach and Miri Make a Porno getting a lot of upvotes here.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. The other one, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
That's a good one, too.
I didn't know that was filmed here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what it's about?
Probably some carp or trout. I've never seen that. Is it good?
I haven't seen it in a long time, I believe.
What is it about?
I think it's about basketball.
Oh. Steve in Myrtle Beach, good morning.
Morning, fellas. I would say probably Striking Distance.
Okay,
Bruce Willis.
That was the old one. Yep. So, and listen, as far as the T.J. Watt and the Miles Garrett thing, this is my opinion with this. Is when, listen, Miles Garrett, he's a phenomenal player.
Sure.
But when you talk about greats, listen, I talk about LT. You got Aaron Donald. I'd even put Harrison in that conversation. As far as Garrett, no. But I will put T.J. Watt in that conversation. T.J. Watt is a game wrecker.
Yes.
He is not only that, this is what makes T.J. so special. He's clutch. He comes up with big plays and big moments.
I'm with you on that. And that has to matter. The thing that is going to perturb me forever until and hopefully if it changes is that Miles Garrett's won a playoff game and T.J. Watt hasn't. Now, T.J. Watt missed last year's playoff game, and T.J. Watt recovered a fumble that ran it back for a touchdown against the Chiefs. Like, it ain't his fault that they haven't won playoff games. But that'll be held against him. And when you talk about the Pantheon, the all-time great defensive players in Steelers history, we always come back to rings. That's just how this franchise is viewed. So you got to be able to get it done in the playoffs. I think this is the year. Here's the other thing. Watt dominates the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan Moore, from a counting statistics standpoint, has actually done a very good job against Miles Garrett. But he always winds up with a bad PFF grade because of pass rush win rate, which I'm now 3-for-3 on saying, by the way. Brownie points to me. When you have to go to the made-up stats...
Of course.
It drives me up a wall. Now, in baseball, I think it's a little bit different. Like, if you won the Triple Crown back in the day, you were going to be the MVP. But you can look at advanced analytics and say, hey, Mike Trout is the MVP despite Miguel Cabrera winning the Triple Crown. You can say stuff like that because it's a uniform kind of deal where I don't think they're actually made up stats. Like, you play 162 games. You've got these statistics. Everyone's pulling the same statistics. Meanwhile, when you're grading a guy like Miles Garrett versus T.J. Watt, there's a ton of subjectivity that goes into it. Like, what is a pass rush win, and what is not a pass rush win?
Yes.
What, like, when is Watt seeing special attention and Garrett isn't, or vice versa? Because last year, allegedly, Garrett was seeing a lot more double teams than Watt, but now this year PFF has created a metric for that, and Watt is getting chipped more than any player in football.
I think it should be, like, to me, this would be the most easiest graded honor. MVP. Defensive MVP. That is, to me, is the most easiest blatant use your eyes. If this player is the most valuable player to their respective team, to their respective defense, to their respective offense in the NFL. And with a pass rusher, sacks, clearly fumble recoveries, strip sacks, interceptions, the normal stuff. But whenever you watch a game, how much do they impact the game? And if they are not in the game, how much do they does their respective side fall off because they're not in the game? It is the easiest thing, and you use your eyes. And last year, you use your eyes. It was probably close.
Yeah, sure.
But if you use the normal broad stats of a pass rusher, T.J. Watt was better than Myles Garrett.
When you force a fumble, the odds of your team winning go up exponentially. When you record a sack, the odds of the other team getting points on the drive falls exponentially. When you tip a pass, it's probably going to fall incomplete. Like, all of these things, when you intercept a pass, the odds of your team winning go up exponentially. All these counting stats, when you really dig down on them, every single one of those affects the game.
Yes.
And sways the percentage chance of you winning mightily. Pass rush win rate is important. Like, for example, the Steelers last week against Lamar, they pressured him, at least they were counted as pressuring him, 40% of the time. You could see that. It affected him. It changed the game. But what swings a game? A pick, a forced fumble. What changes drives? A sack. Like, oh, you can't commit a penalty. You get a 10-yard holding penalty. You're not gonna score points on the drive. You're shooting yourselves in the foot. Well, you give up a sack, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The counting stats absolutely matter. They absolutely matter, and they should matter more than anything else at that position. I agree with you. And I probably shouldn't get this jacked up about this, but I do. There's no other way to get pissy about the Browns. Because you've been the 18-wheeler, and they've been the bug that goes splat on your windshield going back 25 years now,
yep.
Save for one or two moments. And the one thing that they think they have over us, they don't, and that's what drives me craziest. Is he the player you most love to hate? 412-928-9370. I think the answer is yes, Doran, because the phone lines have blown up. We'll get to some more calls coming up in the next segment. And I also think tomorrow is going to be a big game for one guy in particular. We'll tell you who. Ray Fittipaldo joining us at 8 o'clock. I want to remind everybody that you can join Odyssey Radio Station's Pitt Athletics and Saloni's Italian Bakery at Market District at Settlers Ridge today from 2 until 7 p.m. While you're out buying supplies for your tailgates, Turkey Day celebrations, you can help us fill up the truck to benefit the greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and support your local community members. Help us bring home the biggest haul to Pitt. A couple of Pitt basketball players were out there yesterday, Doran.
Yeah.
Including Damian Dunn, who's a bad man.
Yeah, he's pretty good, huh?
He's pretty good. I think they're really good.
Yeah.
I think they're really good. I thought they'd be good coming in. They're leaps and bounds ahead of where they were each of the last two seasons at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And Capel's been able to get them at the end of seasons the last 2 years playing excellent basketball. So if they're going to experience that kind of growth and this is the starting point, I think a special season on the way for Pitt basketball.
Yeah, so much room to get better, too.
I agree with that. And mm-hmm. I think Capel sees that, too. Like, hey, we're really good right now. We can be a lot better, which is scary for their opponents and very nice thing for Pitt fans.
Yes.
You see how hard that was for me to say.
That was.
It came out kind of like blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially after what happened the other night on Friday.
I'm sorry. I blacked out in the second half.
Oh.
I actually did get very drunk in the second half.
I'm sure you did.
And then my wife and I argued. Not about basketball, but a little bit about basketball because she was giving it to me because she's a Pitt fan. Anyway, we were asking before the Myles Garrett question, we're going to take calls on that in a second here. Is he the player you love to hate the most? 412-928-9370. Best movie filmed in Pittsburgh. And a lot of people writing in Dark Knight Rises. I was in that movie. I was one of the extras in the crowd when Bane blew up Acrisure Stadium.
No, you weren't.
I was.
No, you weren't.
I was one of the thousands of people there. You can, you know, if you pause it and then zoom and then search for like 2.5 hours, you might be able to see my head. The thing that was tough about that was they filmed it in the middle of summer and I was hungover as heck and you had to wear winter clothes.
Yes.
So I'm sitting there in a parka basically with a tassel cap on and it's like 85 degrees. I'm hungover and the sun's beating down on me. Yeah, you could actually probably smell me through the screen.
Does that count as being filmed in Pittsburgh? That's the only scene that was in Pittsburgh.
No,
right?
They fought outside the courthouse. Bang, bang, boom, 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 boom. That's a badass fight, too.
That is a bad fight.
So badass.
Yeah.
Where you got Bale, bang, bang, with Tom Hardy, bang, bang, just throwing haymakers.
Tom Hardy's like hitting the pillars and breaking it.
Bad day for the courthouse. All right, let's go to Rocky in Blawanox. Hi, Rocky.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Vernon.
Hey, it's funny you mentioned that that movie being filmed in Pittsburgh. I respect that, but the number one movie ever filmed in Pittsburgh, Sudden Death.
I could go there. That could be my number one for sure. Great movie.
So here's why. I don't know if you guys were old enough. I was down there for the filming also. They brought up Nailers players from Wheeling. And it was this time of year. A very prominent penguin was in the movie. And he may or may not have a telestrator. I'm not going to name him.
Jay Caulfield.
You did. So here's why I don't want to name him. Because my Aunt Shirley took me to the game. She waited outside, got his autograph. Pretty sure she might have got some digits, too, because she would not stop talking about the man at Thanksgiving dinner. So I don't know if they did some telestration work. I don't know what they were doing, but all I remember is
telestrated her.
Aunt Shirley at Thanksgiving dinner would not stop talking about the guy.
She probably loved the stuffing.
He drop off?
Yeah, he did.
Or did you click him off?
I didn't even click him off. I clicked to the screen, but I did not click him off because I'm sure he had a Steelers thing to get to. All right, John in Wexford. Is Myles Garrett the player you most love to hate?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I guess. I mean,
who else is on the list?
At times. I mean, he can definitely be annoying for sure. But listen, clearly the greatest film ever made in this city is The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. Okay, first of all, it's got the name of the city in the title. That alone puts it right there in the contention, number one. And you guys didn't know what the film was about. It was made back in the late 70s.
It's basketball.
Really, really bad pro basketball team. They were terrible. Long story short, an employee meets a woman who says, if you bring players in that have the astrological sign of Pisces, the team will get really good. And so Julius Erving was in the film, Dr. J, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Meadowlark Lemon. They were all characters in the film. Stocker Channing was the woman. Jonathan Winters was in the film. It was filmed at the Civic Arena. The whole movie was based on the city and done here in the city, and it was just fantastic. And it's a great film. It's a cult classic. If you ever get a chance, a couple hours, you'll laugh.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Pittsburgh's been a hotbed, though, recently, more recently than, because there was only just a couple.
I think it's cheap to film here, right?
It was. I think it's getting more expensive now because everybody wants to come here and film their movies. But there was only a couple up until, like, you know, I think Sudden Death that have been filmed here.
We filming a lot in Cleveland?
No.
I didn't think so.
I don't think so, no.
But I don't know. I could be ignorant. There's a lot of movies that people are bringing up that I didn't know were even filmed in Pittsburgh.
Like so. What?
Like The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. I thought that one was filmed in Buffalo.
Pittsburgh, Kansas.
That's right. Drop the H. Myles Garrett in his career against the Steelers, they are the Browns, 4-7-1. So losing record, 9 sacks in 12 games. That's pretty good, actually. But TJ Watt has absolutely dominated the Browns. Dominated them. And I think he's going to do that tomorrow, too. If one guy's going to have more of an impact on the game, I am absolutely saying Watt. Their line stinks. Their tackles stink. They're not playing for Jack. They can't run the football, thus meaning Jameis Winston, who cannot move, by the way, going to be standing like a statue back there in the pocket. The other guy said I was going to tell you who's going to play well tomorrow. We've talked about him already. I think it's going to be Justin Fields. I think he's going to play a lot. I think short week, they can prepare fine. They just saw a lot of Taysom Hill with 3 touchdowns. I think if the Steelers are smart, and I believe they are, I believe Arthur Smith is, I think we're going to see a lot of Justin Fields in this game. 412-928-9370. One more call?
Yeah.
Angela in Beachview. Hello.
What's up, guys? Since I don't do comedies or chick flicks, my favorite Pittsburgh movie is The Deer Hunter.
Oh, good one.
Yes. Yeah, it was the first one that dared come out with this. What is this strange stuff? PTSD. Mm-hmm. And my first husband was a wacko Vietnam vet, so I lived that movie, so I thought that was the best movie.
All right, Angela, couple things here. Thank you to him for his service. How many marriages are we on now? What are we on right now?
Number two. I'm good.
This one's sticking?
Yes, one's sticking. Yes,
okay, very good. And then it does not shock me in the slightest, buddy, that you are not into chick flicks.
Yeah, no, I don't. Come on, it's ridiculous. That's not real life.
Although, you know? If I could recommend a chick flick that might tickle your fancy.
All right.
Did you ever watch Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon? It's a sports movie, but it's really a chick flick.
No, I don't do Jimmy Fallon. I don't do none of that crap.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Angela.
Have you ever seen Deer Hunter?
No.
It's very good. Robert De Niro?
Never seen it.
It's really good.
Have you ever seen Mindhunter? TV show.
That's the one I was thinking about.
Filmed in Pittsburgh.
That, instead of, you said Peaky Blinders, I was thinking Mindhunter.
Oh, yeah. That one's great. It's about serial killers.
That's the one I was thinking.
And like the start of the criminal investigations unit.
Yes, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, that show's really good. I don't know if it got canceled or not. I stopped watching it. Those kind of things freak me out. The more I watch the serial killer stuff, the more I think people are out to get me. And so I can generally hang around for a season or two, and then I start being really paranoid.
Mm.
Yeah. I got issues, man.
Mm.
But you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Fittipaldo going to join us coming up at 8 o'clock on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike Tomlin, 2 days ago, we didn't really get to his press conference much yesterday. He had something interesting to say about Russell Wilson that really got my ears perked up, Doran. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Joined by our Steelers insider, Ray Fittipaldo, in the next segment. Mike Tomlin on Monday talking about Russell Wilson's interception in the end zone.
Washington, how did he play the ball that ultimately got intercepted?
I just wish Russ hadn't thrown it.
I think if the Steelers want to get better in the red zone, those are the kind of balls that need to get thrown. They just need to be thrown better or the guy needs to jump.
Yeah, that was off script too.
Yes. Clearly. I mean, up until it got picked, it was vintage Russ.
Yeah,
he spins,
spun around.
Oh, yeah.
Rolled out. And just kind of lobbed it up. Yeah, that was on Washington. I know that Tomlin said that he wished he hadn't thrown it. I disagree. Like, you got a 6'7", 315-pound tight end that is boxing out basically a small defender. Russ is giving him an opportunity to get the ball. I think Darnell Washington just thought that somebody else was behind him, so he didn't want to actually go for it.
Yeah, the 315-pounder,
yeah,
as we were told yesterday by Russell Wilson. It's like if I was trying to box you out in the end zone.
Right.
We can't do the thing, and a lot of Steelers fans were critical of the throw. You can't do the thing where you praise Russ for giving his guys a chance and then crush him for trying to give his guy a chance there. You're not going to score more touchdowns in the red zone if you're not going to take some opportunities. Like, you got to force the issue sometimes when you're down there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe in that moment, the way the game had been going, you kick a field goal, you get up 8, you feel like you're going to win the game. I can understand it in that moment, but you're clicking at 44.44% touchdowns in the red zone. It's a woeful number. You're not going to be better by being scared.
Yeah. Scared money don't make no money.
Is that the saying?
Mm-hmm.
Scared money don't make no money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I am. Oh, wow, Russ, great moon ball. He sure gave Mike Williams a chance. Oh, Russ, great moon ball. He sure gave George Pickens a chance. He threw to the 6'7", 315-pound guy who's got a little dude guarding him. Could have been a better throw. Could have thrown a little shorter.
Yeah.
Washington had done a better job. These are the risks they need to take. I'm okay with it. You're not going to beat great teams if you do not score touchdowns on the reg. They're 2-0. In games where they don't score a touchdown. The rest of the league is 2-18. So they have a secret sauce, and part of that sauce is the best kicker in football. But you're not going to make a living off that. If they play 2 more games this year where they don't score a touchdown, I don't think they're going to win both of those games. That's just the way it is. So be aggressive down there. I hope that Russ doesn't take that to heart and get scared. I doubt that he will. But I hope that that's not the message that Mike Tomlin's trying to send him, you know, when they're doing their film breakdowns. All right, Ray Fittipaldo joins us next. We'll get into the red zone woes. A lot to get to, in fact, with Ray Fittipaldo. Steelers did practice yesterday, so there is an injury report, and I think good news to report. We'll get to all that with Ray when we come back. First, though, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 64, 70% chance of rain.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.